Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that last song that we just sang just reminded me of an experience the other day. I was walking, and it just seems like lately I haven't been seeing a whole lot of people walking. But, you know, nevertheless, the Lord has given me some amazing opportunities, really. But I was walking down the street, and there was a young guy first. Might have had a skateboard with him. I'm not positive about that. But anyway, you know, I said hi and offered him a track, and he made a face. He didn't want it. And then just another few yards away from him was another boy, and he was on a skateboard, only he got off the skateboard and he was holding it. And, you know, to see him, I wanted to run. I really did. He had, you know, these things in his chin, you know, these pin-like things in his chin. And, you know, he was just a sight, you know. But, you know, he stopped and we talked. And, you know, I could just see this hunger in this young man, you know, this young boy. It was just coming out of him, you know. And he did take my track, you know. I invited him to church, and, you know. Then I just told him, I said, you know, God is real. And, you know, you just never know. You know, there was a lady that I've seen many times before, works in one of the offices here in town, and she's always been kind of on the grouchy side, I thought. But anyway, I offered her a track, and, you know, she looked like she was going to cry. I mean, you know, invited her to church, and you know, just chatted with her briefly, and you know, you just don't know, you know, what's out there. There was a man down the street a week or so ago that I ended up talking to, and, you know, he seemed very hungry. I mean, he said he was going to come to church. I don't know, it might take a little more nudging and everything else, but, you know, in spite of these times, in spite of all the evil, there are people that want to see Jesus. Yes, there are people that, you know, have not yet met him, that don't know him, that don't have any depths at all, and out there just looking. You know, some of my conversations with my girls, and, you know, we talk about, you know, sometimes the reason some of these people go into these spiritual realms is because they're hungry. They don't know where to look. You know, the churches are so dead. And that's the truth. But praise the Lord, yet God has reserved for himself a people. He has a remnant. He has a people that know him. And a people that can present Jesus to the world. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I pray that we be ready, because there are a people that still need Jesus. He's still calling. You know, his voice is still going out there bidding people to come unto him. And praise the Lord, you know, we have something to offer. We have the peace of God. If we've met with him, he's changed our life. If we repented of our sins, been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we've got something, you know, that's greater than what other people know. And oh, praise the Lord, we have something to offer. We have living water. We know the depths of living for the Lord. And of course, there's always more. You can always go deeper in the Lord. But praise the Lord, we have something to give to this world. Praise the Lord. Just, oh, that eyes would be opened, that they might see Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray here. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've given us, Lord, for this word, oh Lord, that you allowed us to see and to comprehend, oh Lord, this word of life that you've given to us, Lord. Oh God, for surely every human being is going to stand before you and give an account of their lives before you, Lord. And oh God, we want to be living according to thy word. We want to have it deep in our hearts, Lord Jesus. So, oh God, and I pray, oh Lord, that you would make this word alive tonight. I pray that you would talk to us here tonight. Oh God, that you give us these things that we have need of from you, Lord. Oh God, this word of life. Oh God, that you would speak to us, Lord. Oh God, for oh God, you can make all things new. Oh God, you can transform lives. Oh God, you can change the worst of sinners, oh Lord. Oh God, and we thank you that we can come unto you here tonight. Oh God, I pray that you make this word alive. Oh God, that you'd use me, God. Oh God, that you give me words. I know I can't do it without you, Lord. I pray, oh God, for your directive. And oh God, for your inspiration, God. Oh God, that you would be here. Your ability, Lord. Your authority, your anointing. All these things, oh God, that we desperately need from you only, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I ask that you be here to meet the needs of your people, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help Samuel too with those bites, Lord. I pray that you'd heal him promptly, God. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You take the burning, the itching away, Lord, and heal him up, oh Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Oh God, we take authority over all the things of the devil, Lord, all his whims and everything else he tries to do. Pray, oh God, that you would, oh God, bless us here tonight. Give us faith in thee. Oh God, help us to abide in thee and you in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We did Micah 1 and 2 last week, and I feel like we need to go on in the book of Micah, that minor prophet. And we're going to go to the third chapter. I guess we could classify it under that same title, Gathered at the Sheep of Bozra, part two, I guess. But you will see how the Lord does it. I'm not sure. It seems like there's a lot of material. I'm not sure if I'm going to get through the fourth chapter or not. But we'll see how the Lord directs here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is gathering his remnant, and he's got a people, regardless of what it looks like. Praise the Lord, a people that serve him, that have it in their heart to keep his laws, his commandments, his ways, to abide in him, yes, to do his will, all those things. Thank God, he's got a people. Even though we be a little flock, God has others. And praise the Lord for it, amen. Praise the Lord. Micah, the third chapter, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll start with verse 1 here. It says, "And I said, Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?" Okay, we're just going to pause here with this first verse and we see that those that are in charge of the house of Jacob and the princes, all of those, the heads, the princes, are being addressed here in this first verse. And obviously, they are being asked a question, and there was obviously a problem. The question is it not for you to know judgment? And obviously, oh man, things were very contrary at that point. We're just going to turn again to Isaiah 59. I know I go here fairly often, it seems, but so much in Isaiah 59. But let's go there for a moment. God had something to say about judgment in that 59th chapter of Isaiah likewise. And we're not going to read a lot of the chapter at the moment, but let's look at verse 14. It says, "And shall say, Cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I see that I'm looking at chapter 57. I didn't mean to, but wow, that's a pretty important verse there. Let's look at Isaiah 59 here, the 14th verse. Praise the Lord. Maybe a reason I needed to read that. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 here in Isaiah 59. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." So here in this 59th chapter of Isaiah, it talks about all the horrendous things that are going on, all the confusion, all the transgressions that are multiplied before God, and the sins that they have that are a testimony against them. But it was a time where there was no judgment. It had fallen in the street. The truth had fallen in the street. And equity, it says, cannot enter. They didn't want that which was just and true and right. They had their own ways, their own concepts. They were judging according to their own ways, which were very evil. And it talks about how truth faileth, and those that would depart from evil was actually a prey to those that loved evil. And it says the Lord saw it. God saw the ways of these people, how they had become, how the truth had fallen in the street, how equity could not enter, how judgment was turned away backwards. And it says that the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. No judgment. So you see how God feels about it. So back here in Micah, the third chapter, that first verse, again, those heads of Jacob, of Israel, are being addressed. And the question, is it not for you to know judgment? These next two verses are not easy to read, so I don't plan to elaborate. But it says, "Who hate the good and love the evil." And of course, in Isaiah, the fifth chapter, it says, "Woe to them." Oh, yes, that take evil for good and good for evil. And you know, things were pretty backwards at this point. And here, again, "Who hate the good and love the evil." And then it says, this is how bad it was. It says, "Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones." I don't know. Things aren't too good right now. You do see abominable things. And you know the way people are pierced and with, you know, pins all over their face and everything else. I mean, the distortions and all the other things that, you know, wicked spirits are putting upon them. But, you know, here it had gone to even a greater extreme. Says, "Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot, as flesh within the cauldron." So I'll tell you, terrible. But this is what was going on in old Israel, and no wonder, you know, this question was being addressed to those who were in authority, those that actually hated the good and loved the evil. But, you know, it's so strange because as far away from God that people could be, so many of them still think they're all right. You know, after all, you know, I've got this background. You know, I know this little bit. And, you know, I go to a church once in a while and sit in the pew and, you know, open up the Bible maybe, you know, once a year or something. But it says, "Then shall they cry unto the Lord," in verse 4. "But he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings." So it's talking about a people that had gone so far from God their actions, their deeds, their thoughts were so abominable that when they cried to the Lord, when they needed help, when they were in a fiery situation, it says that God would not hear them, that God would even hide his face from them at that time when they urgently needed him because of their ill doings, all their misbehavior, their awful, terrible, dreadful, abominable ways. And then it goes on to say what the Lord thought concerning the prophets. In verse 5 here in Micah, the third chapter, it says in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." Interesting. It talks about the prophets that make God's people to err. And, you know, the prophets had a lot to say about those kind of prophets. In Jeremiah, the sixth chapter, it talks again about a people that are very far from God. It says in verse 13 here in Jeremiah 6, it says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." So here are the religious people who are supposed to be showing the way, who are supposed to be teaching the ways of God. But it says, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And then there was a cry that would come from their lips. It says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Verse 15 asks, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Again, you can see when they really needed God, that he wasn't going to be found at them. They were false. They're false leaders, leaders of the blind, you know. They were leading the people into the ditch and not at all ashamed of the abominable things that they were doing. Not at all ashamed. They weren't even blushing. But it says, "Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time when I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." And then, you know, the remedy that comes forth in verse 16 here in Jeremiah 6. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." You see how rebellious these people are. You know, they were told, they were encouraged, they were urged to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, the ways that are right, the ways that are according to the precepts of God, and to walk in those ways, to walk in those precepts with the promise that they would find rest for their souls. You see, they had such a rebellious spirit within them that they said, "We will not walk therein." And then, you know, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. You know, there were watchmen over them that would sound the trumpets. But again, that rebellion was so deep in their hearts, they said, "We will not hearken." Oh, this was a people that had lost their way. And oh, yes, we're not at all heeding the words of life. But yes, they would cry for peace. And we know that that's going to be a sign at the end when they cry, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians. Amen. So here it is, back here in Micah, that third chapter, that cry for peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, not going to happen. It's a false cry. And then, you know, their rebellious hearts, they even prepare war against him. You know, coming against those that preach the truth. They that departed from iniquity, they give themselves a prey, and those that would dare to declare the words of God. Oh yes, being cast aside, even being, oh yes, rejected in such a place, in such a way that they would prepare war against them. Oh, I can't help but think of the end scenario. Oh yes, the very end. As it tells us in the 17th chapter of Revelation, verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Oh yes, this final scenario here is, oh yes, this world is coming to an end. And oh yes, the kingdoms of this world are united, those 10 horns coming together as one system. If they can, 1 hour with the beast, having one mind, giving their power, their strength unto the beast, the one world system and all of that. But their attempt to try to make war with the Lamb, capital L there, Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, very clearly it tells us the Lamb shall overcome them. Yes, he's coming back. Oh, they're going to be taken out of the way. Yes, this is going to be put down. This revolt is going to be put down. And he's bringing his children with him. Oh, yes, his army is a great army to defeat the foes of the evil one. Yes, and those that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I want to be one of those. But, oh, you see how as of this world ends, how it's all going to be put down. Even those that would imagine in their hearts that they could war against the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is going to make men speak out of them. He is going to defeat them. They are going to be put down, and they shall never rise again. Praise the Lord. Amen. But here it goes on to say in verse 6 here, Micah 3. "Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them." Oh yes, God not allowing them to continue in their ways. God putting them down and, you know, trying to prophesy and not being able. Oh, I think there's so many vain prophets in this world today. So many advocates that the devil is using, men that are of renown. Yes, that are considered to be wise. Thinking of people like Norman Vincent Peale and, you know, his well-known book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and, you know, all the people that have read it and, you know, listened to his theories and, you know, gone with them. People like Billy Graham, oh yes, that, you know, declared that, you know, the Jewish people can be saved without Jesus Christ. All these men, Robert Schuller, so many of them, Crystal Cathedral, that, you know, I don't know if that still exists at the moment, but I know, yes, they charged people to go there, you know, to sit. Oh my, if you wanted a front row seat, you know, it was like $100 or something. You wanted, you know, a middle seat, it was more like $50, you know, only if you know, you had nothing, maybe you could sit in the way, way back. But all these are leaders of the blind. All these are people maybe known a man and esteemed, but in reality, high-ranking masons. Oh, yes, with their misinformation. Yes, deceiving the people and the masses, whosoever they could, claiming to be Christian, having that cloak around them. But God will bring them to nothing, and all those visions that they perceive are going to become nothingness. So it talks about, therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall have not a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Says in verse 7, then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Oh, that day when it's too late, and God puts all of this to rest, and it's over. He confounds those diviners with their lies and their cutting ways. And suddenly they are ashamed. They cover their lips. There is suddenly nothing more to say. So thankful for the power that the Lord gives us. Remember the story that David Meyer used to tell, you know, we know his past was that of astrology before he met the Lord, but, you know, he told of the event, you know, he was in the car going someplace and had the radio on, and there was some kind of astrologer, and he was, you know, people would call in and, you know, ask him, you know, answers for their various situations and problems, and, you know, he'd come up with something. And then Pastor David began to pray and bind those wicked spirits that were operating in this astrologer. And all at once, his answers became very foolish. He would say something totally irrelevant to the situation, something that was completely off. And you know, you could see the folly of it. But praise the Lord, we do have authority with the Lord. Oh, we are able to bind. Oh, yes, we are able to loose. And oh, yes, we can call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him, oh, yes, to do these things for us, to give us that authority that we need in the name of Jesus Christ. But oh, indeed, there are those moments that are forthcoming. There is that time that is coming when, oh yes, those that have deceived the masses and spoken things that are not true are going to be totally ashamed and confounded, all covering their lips with no answer of God at all to give. But in contrast to that, it says in verse 8, as Micah is declaring, he says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. And here we see this was a calling that God had put before Micah. Oh yes, to make them know their transgressions, to make the people to know their sin. And God had given him that enablement. God had given him that power. God had given him that authority and that anointing so he could go forth by the Spirit of God and declare it. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank God that he has his people. He did have his prophets of old who would declare it. Oh, yes, in spite of persecution, in spite of those with the ears that were plugged, but still they would declare it. Still, they would tell it as it was and declare to Israel their transgression, their sin. And then he goes on, yes, to say to the house of Israel, here in verse 9, he says, hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity, that build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity, The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Oh, how deceived they are. Oh, yes, and now he is telling them clearly, oh, these evil people that hated, that abhorred judgment, that they would pervert all equity. Building up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Oh, these leaders of the people that were leading the people astray. And thinking, oh, yes, that they were going to get by with it. Oh, their motives were so completely wrong. You know, it says the heads thereof judge for reward. They were doing it, you know, for the pat on the back and so that they might have the praise of men. And it says a priest thereof teach for hire. Yeah, for their wages, for what they could gain, for what they did. And again, the prophets likewise, divine for money. They were prophesying just for filthy gain. And in spite of these motives that were so impure and so wrong, yet it says, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Oh, how very deceived they really were. How very strange it is that they could even believe such a lie and think, even though they were doing all these abominable things, that God wasn't looking at them. God wasn't caring. Whatever, all, you know, they could get by with it because, after all, they were priests. They were prophets. They were, you know, those in charge. They were Jews, so, you know, they thought, you know, there would be no judgment. And they had perverted it all. And yet, they thought the Lord, oh my, would not judge them for such. In Hosea, the 8th chapter, and you know, Hosea was a contemporary with Micah as well as Isaiah. It tells us in the 8th chapter of Hosea, verse 1, it says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. So, okay, the proclamation was going to be made. The trumpet set to the mouth. God coming as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because of their transgressions, trespasses against his law. But on the other hand, it says in verse 2, Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Thinking that they were okay and that God was winking at them. We know thee. Oh, it reminds me of that scripture there in Luke, the 13th chapter. Just to go there for a moment. Luke, the 13th chapter, and looking at verse 23, where it says, Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Oh, the great deception of sin. People that somehow think because of their background, oh, because of their church attendance or because of their, you know, heritage or whatever all, that they're going to be okay because, oh yeah, they, you know, have a bit of an acquaintance with the Lord, so they think. These people thought so too. But it came to the time when that door was shut and there were these people, oh yes, it began to stand without the door, realizing it was shut and it could not be opened any longer. And oh yes, there was a cry that came out from their mouth as they realized that door was shut and it wasn't opening, just as God shut the door of the ark. Oh yes, when that time was up and the people could not enter. But here it is. I believe speaking of that door of opportunity, that time when time is up, oh yes, when judgment is forthcoming and the end is upon us. And those that stand without, having procrastinated, having waited to, you know, not, you know, repent and get right with the Lord. But standing without, knocking at the door, and crying out, Lord, Lord, open unto us. I can imagine, oh, it would not be a quiet cry. You know, Lord, Lord, open unto us. I would think a very desperate cry, as they must have cried to enter into the ark when they realized that those rains were coming upon them. Those people in the time of Noah. But here, this cry at the end of the world. And the response of the Lord at that moment, I know you not whence ye are. Oh, and all the cry, oh Lord, you know we ate and we drank in thy presence. You taught in our streets. You know, we went to a church, we sat in a pew, we heard sermons, you know, we listened to this radio broadcast. We heard this, we did that, we tried to do good deeds. Oh, you know, we had all this that we tried to do. But it wasn't sufficient, it wasn't enough. The heart had not been given over to the Lord. There had been no true repentance in the heart. And the answer comes out. I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, how important it is, oh Lord, that people would be moved to get right with God while there is still opportunity, while there are still these moments of time, before it is everlastingly too late. Titus, the first chapter, verse 16, says they profess that they know God, but it works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. People who no longer know, but yet they think that they know God. They profess that they know God. But the works speak otherwise. The works they deny Him. Their works are those of abomination. Works that are disobedient to the will of God. And even reprobate, so they no longer know right from wrong. Oh, the sorry condition of human beings. Oh, yes, that cry as Israel cried, my God, we know thee. But yet, were they living according to his precepts? Were they doing his will? Were their hearts right with him? Well, I'm afraid not. He tells us again here in Micah, this third chapter, verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, the priests thereof teach for hire, the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the host as the high places of the forest. There came that day when God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come into the land and bring it down, so that indeed the scripture was fulfilled. It was plowed under as a field. Jerusalem became like a heap, and the mountain of a house as the high places of the forest. Yes, the temple that was located on a mountain was brought down. It was burned with fire when the Babylonians came in 586 BC and plundered everything that they wanted out of the temple first, and then burned it with fire. It was taken away. It was destroyed because they had not listened to the voice of the prophets that declared the voice of God. They had not listened. They had not obeyed. They had not given heed. And therefore that day came, oh yes, when that temple was burned to the ground by the Chaldeans after they had pillaged all of the valuables. And then they were carried off to Babylon. Oh, yes. How needful it is to obey the voice of the Lord. Oh, yes, to give heed while we still have time. To listen, yes, while the day is still upon us, before that night cometh when no man can work. To listen now. To get right with God at this moment. And as we continue here, in Micah, the fourth chapter, it says in verse 1, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." And thank God, yes, that house was burned with fire there by the Chaldeans. But God had promised that there would be a restoration, and that in 70 years the people would be able to come back. And praise the Lord, so it happened. That yes, that temple was restored, that it was built, and God allowed it to happen. God made a way so it could happen. He even used, you know, a pagan king, Cyrus, to give them the funds that were needed to build it and to restore Jerusalem. And so it was built again. And Darius also had a hand in that. And finally it was built again, I believe in 516 BC. So it was established. And it stood until 70 AD, when again God allowed it to be taken, plundered, and burned, taken apart stone by stone, as Jesus had said it would be. But there were those last days when it was talking about that mountain of the house of the Lord would be established in the top of the mountains. And you know, Micah is speaking in a time before this existed as such, before all these events had happened. And the temple, it's interesting, it was built on a mountain. It was built on Mount Moriah. And you know, it was high, you know, and you know, it was used of the Lord, you know, to be that place where they would gather together during that period to worship and come together where the law was taught to the time of the new covenant. But here is a prophetic utterance here in this fourth chapter, Micah, in the last days. And when it speaks of the last days, I believe it's talking about the time period of the new covenant. When Peter brought forth his message there on the day of Pentecost, he brought forth which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And as he declared it, he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so, yes, Joel, being very anointed by God, made that prophetic utterance that in the last days it would come to pass that God would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. We know that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. God poured out of his spirit upon all flesh. And so here, back in Micah, it's talking about the last days. That there would be this prophetic utterance that would come to pass, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and there it stood. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And it says, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I believe this declaration is speaking of the gathering of the remnants of God's people. I believe it is speaking of that which came forth on the day of Pentecost, when God called forth a remnant of his people. Oh yes, there were 120 that were gathered together there in upper room, that at first had the Spirit of the living God poured upon them. As God came upon them, they spake with other tongues and prophesied. And then, oh yes, all those nations, all those people that were gathered there together there on that day of Pentecost, that feast day that God had brought together, the remnant of his people, that gathering together of his people that had it in their hearts to come and gather there together at the mountain of the Lord, there in the house of the Lord, as Pentecost came forth. And oh yes, that new covenant that God was bringing forth. Oh yes, where he would put his laws into our hearts. Oh yes, where he put it into our minds so that we could declare it, so that we could know it, so that it would be within us, and that we could teach his ways. Oh yes, and declare it and show the way by a living testimony, that testimony of a changed life, of a life that had come to the Lord and found salvation, a life that had been converted by the power of God. It was changed and transformed by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, there are many prophetic utterances here that declared what was to come forth. If we look at Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, for a few verses. Ezekiel 11, looking at verse 15 here, it says, Son of man, God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, in all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Strange. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. God sent them away. He sent them to Babylon, and to other places to disperse them, but also to preserve them, because there would be that time. And Jeremiah prophesied in chapters 25 and chapter 29 of Jeremiah that they would come back, that they would return in 70 years. There would be a remnant of them that would return. But there where they were scattered, God would be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come, where they would be sent. Then it says here in Ezekiel 11, verse 17, Therefore saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God. Oh yes, God was going to bring forth His new covenant. And yes, He was going to put a new spirit within them. Oh yes, so they could discern between right and wrong. Oh yes, so they would cast away the abominations from thence. And God would take away that stony, rebellious heart from them and put in a spirit of the living God, the spirit of the living God, a heart that could be molded, that could be shapened by the living God, a heart of flesh, one that He could transform, that they would walk in His statutes and keep His ordinances and do them. And yes, therefore, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But on the other hand, it says in verse 21, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Oh, yes. Oh, the complete reverse for those that rebel, who walk after the imaginations of their own hearts. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, it says likewise, very similar. Verse 24 in Ezekiel 36, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Praise the Lord, you know, foretelling, I believe, of the power of the water of baptism, the remission of sins, that cleansing power. Oh, yes, the old covenant. The priests were required to wash in the laver that they die not. They were required to do so, otherwise God would smite them dead. But yes, He has made a way that our filthy sins could be cleansed from us. Oh, yes, through repentance and immersion in the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, that sprinkling of clean water upon you, oh, so we could be cleansed from our filthiness, all our idolatry, all of those things of our past could be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 26 here, in Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. Well, yes, I know there is that call to come out from the ways of the heathen. Oh, yes, to bring yourself out of those things that destroy. Oh, yes, to turn the heart over. So it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, where it says in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And yes, it wasn't only to the Jewish people, but yes, God had a Gentile people that He would also call forth. Oh yes, a people that He had chosen for His name's sake, that also would come forth and be His own peculiar treasure. and they are being addressed here in this 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It says in verse 17 here in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh, praise the Lord in his wonderful plan. Oh, yes, that he would call forth a people that would come forth and serve him, a people that he would put his name upon. Oh, yes, it would be called by his name. And then, yes, he would fill them with his spirit. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, you know. He told them to go to Jerusalem, didn't he? Jesus Christ told them before he ascended to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father until they would be endued with that promise from on high. Oh, yes, those were his words before he was taken up. But praise the Lord, yes, they obeyed. They went, yes, back to Jerusalem. And there they tarried. And it tells us that they were in the temple continually. And there they waited until they were filled with the Spirit from on high, until that Holy Ghost was poured out. The Spirit of the living God that would prompt them in their hearts. Oh, yes, it would teach them the ways of God so that they could walk in the ways of God, so they could walk in the paths of the living God, that the law would be in their heart, that they could be established in the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what it was all about. And we know there on that day of Pentecost how the Lord had arranged it. Oh, yes. It wasn't to just those 120 that were in the upper room that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon. But yes, there were all those devout Jews out of every nation under heaven that were gathered there together there on that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, and it became noised abroad. The word spread, you know, the sound of those speaking in other tongues came forth. Oh my, it wasn't a quiet occurrence, but it was noised abroad, and a multitude came together, it tells us in the 2nd chapter of Acts. And they were confounded, those that heard this. Oh, they were amazed. Oh my, it was something to behold, and they couldn't, you know, put it all together at the first, because those that had gathered there out of every nation under heaven, it says, they could hear these Galileans speaking forth the mighty works of God in their own language from where they were born. Oh, yes, the names, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt, parts of Libya, around Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Oh, praise the Lord. The Spirit of the living God was in Peter. Oh, that man who had once denied Jesus Christ was now standing up there. Oh, yes. And declaring the Word of God. Oh, yes, standing up there and telling them, all those that gathered together, yes, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord be in no respecter of persons. But oh, yes, unto all that the Lord our God should call. Oh, yes, those that were gathered there in the upper room, those that were out there in the street as it was noised abroad. Oh, yes, those that heard as it came forth. It was for all of them. God pouring out of His Spirit as, oh yes, He had declared by the prophets that He would. That things that the angels desire to look upon. Oh yes, as this tells us by the writings of Peter. But here it was. God now having exalted Jesus Christ. Now having poured out the promise of the Holy Ghost, which had been promised. And that is what they could see. That is what they could hear. Oh yes, as it was all being manifested there on the day of Pentecost, as He was putting His Spirit within them so that they could know the ways of the Lord. Oh yes, He was gathering the remnant of His people. As it tells us in Micah, that second chapter, that verse 12 that we read last week, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of a multitude of men. Oh God, breaking it forth as He did there on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, I marvel how they were all gathered. God had put it within their hearts to gather there together, to assemble there in that place so His Word could go forth and His Spirit could be poured out. Jeremiah prophesied of it in Jeremiah the 31st chapter. Looking at Jeremiah 31 verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, praise the Lord. That moment, yes, when He was going to come forth. Oh, yes, He was going to come forth, bringing forth those waters, those living waters that would spring forth into the soul to replenish the soul. Oh, yes, to bring life to the starving soul that needed soul, Jesus Christ. So, yes, all of us, oh, from the greatest to the least, could know the Lord. Oh, yes, it would be just reserved for a special people. It would just be reserved for the prophets and the priests to know the Lord. Oh, yes, so the people would come to them to know the Lord. But He would put His law in the inward parts of His people, sons and daughters, old and young, male and female, Jew and Greek, you know, bond and free, all of them would come to God and know Him. He would put His law in the inward part and write it in their hearts, bringing forth a new covenant that He brought forth in His blood so that we could know Him, so He could be our personal Savior. Oh, yes, so we could walk in His ways, so we could hear His voice speaking unto our souls. This is a way, walking in it. when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. This is a way, that voice that speaks to us to declare the ways of the living God, so that we can know His precepts, so that we can walk in His ways. Oh yes, so we can live above the deception of this world. Oh yes, you know, those same proclamations were declared in the book of Hebrews. Oh yes, it says in Hebrews the 8th chapter, verse 7, where the old covenant is being compared to the new covenant. It says in verse 7 of Hebrews 8, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord." He gave them over. He could do nothing with them. They had done all these abominable things. They were walking in the ways of the heathen. They were embracing iniquity, and transgressions were huge. And here it is. Oh, He was going to bring forth a new covenant. Oh, yes. A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. He had given them over. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Yes, there he was, quoting from Jeremiah 31. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Oh, praise the Lord that made a new covenant in his blood. Oh, yes, a new covenant that would come forth and, oh, yes, be for a people. All kindreds, all backgrounds. For as it tells us in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, as Peter was addressing the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, Peter wrote, and he said to them, verse 6, 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Oh, praise the Lord, in spite of the fact that Jesus was rejected of his own people, he was disallowed. In spite of that, that rejected stone by his own was made the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. And it tells us in verse 8 here, "And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." But praise the Lord unto his people, it says in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Oh, that wonderful call that came forth. Oh, yes, that we could be redeemed. Oh, yes, that we could be set apart, that we could become that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people. Oh, that people that had not once known the Lord, not part of the commonwealth of Israel under the first covenant, but yet under that gracious second covenant that the Lord brought forth, we would become that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, oh yes, that holy nation, that peculiar people, those that were called forth to show the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord, that is what the Lord was doing. I praise God that He made a way there. Oh, yes, in the last days, the time of the pouring out of His Spirit, that He would call forth a people that would come. Oh, yes, it would flow unto that place. Oh, yes. That place to keep the Feast of Pentecost, not knowing what God was going to bring forth. Oh yes, that promise was going to come forth. Oh yes, that they were going to be participants in the new covenant, in that second covenant. Oh, praise the Lord, we'd put that law within our heart and write it on the table of our hearts. Oh, yes, when we would call forth a people. As Peter preached there on that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, for this promise is unto you and unto your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, He declared it there on the day of Pentecost. That Holy Ghost that was poured out, yes, that which had been declared by the prophet Joel, that pouring out of the Spirit of God, it's not only for those that were present there at that moment, but it was for them, it was for their children, and it was for all that were far off, even Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, and I thank God as He preached those words and many other words unto them and did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I praise the Lord. I have a great feeling that, yes, as they were baptized, they too spoke forth in those unknown tongues, the mighty works of God. Oh, yes, I believe the Holy Ghost was poured upon those 3,000 too that repented and turned to the living God. And praise the Lord, that law that shall go forth out of Zion. Oh, the city of the living God. And there is a lot more. And Lord willing, if God gives me another week, I will be able to explain even more. Oh, that word that He puts within our hearts, that goes into our very being. Oh, yes, so that we can walk in His ways and obey His precepts. Oh, yes. And be taught of the Lord, and be taught of the Spirit of the living God that He puts deep within our very being. Oh, praise the Lord, that outpouring of His Spirit that was established there upon the mountains. Praise the Lord, in the city of Jerusalem initially. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, the plan of God and His ways and all what He has set forth. So glad for that new covenant in His blood. Oh yes, that transforming power, the Holy Ghost, that takes us as we are, but begins to mold us and make us what we ought to be in the Lord, so that they can see Jesus in us. Jesus, the hope of glory. Yes, the Jesus, the one who's coming back to receive us unto Himself. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, the outpouring of His Spirit. Yes, that great noise by the reason of man there as the Holy Ghost came forth, bringing forth his remnant as the sheep of Bosrah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that Holy Ghost, oh, is still being poured out today. It's just as real today as it was there on the day of Pentecost. If we'll just believe the Lord, if we'll just accept him at his word, if we'll just allow him to work in us, oh, that Holy Ghost can fall tonight. Amen. That transforming power of the Spirit of God, yes, can come forth tonight. Yes, to clean up the dross and to make us his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Put faith in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, help us to accept and embrace your promise, Lord. Oh, God, help us to lay hold of it, Lord Jesus, and accept it, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, for, oh, God, you promised that you would pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God, the Holy Ghost. Jesus was given away. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus.